I've entitled the message for this evening, Will God Hear Me? Not does God hear me, will God hear me? Many people presume on that God does hear them. And that's a very foolish thing to presume. You see, God is holy. And I'm a sinner. I don't want to presume on this. But I do want to know, does God hear me? Well, we know God heard Ishmael. And if he hears me, he will hear me the same way he heard Ishmael. Ishmael means God will hear. Now, which of us haven't felt sorry for Ishmael the way he got kicked out of the house? When I think of him mocking Isaac, how many big brothers haven't mocked little brothers? I'd say in every home that's taken place. And yet, Sarah says, out the door. He's not going to have any inheritance with my son. And we know that's given to teach us something about getting rid of our works out the door. They're not going to have any inheritance in the gracious acceptance we have in Christ. It has nothing to do with our works. We're to cast out the bondwoman and her son. But I've felt sorry for Ishmael. I mean, there he goes, kicked out of the house. Now, it's clear from Galatians 4 that Hagar and Ishmael represent salvation by law, and no one can be saved by law. What do you mean by that? If God can't do something for you before you first do something to enable Him to do it, that's law. Take it as far as you want. That's law. No one can be saved by law. And we learn this with regard to Hagar and Ishmael. But it appears to me that God saved both of these people. While what they represent is salvation by works, isn't God gracious in saving them? In Genesis chapter 16, He made Himself known to Hagar. He made Himself known. She heard His voice. And then it appears here in Genesis 21 that He made Himself known to Ishmael. I was glad Matthew 1 was read. Look in verse 20 of this chapter, and God was with the lad. What more can be said? God was with the lad. Thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Not God against us. God with us. God was with the lad. That in itself is very powerful, isn't it? Don't you want the Lord to be with you? Ishmael's name means God will hear. Doesn't say might hear. Says He will hear. And this is speaking of hearing with the ear of divine favor, because God hears what everybody says. That can't be said of all men as far as being heard with divine favor. We read in Psalm 50, to the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldst take my covenants in thy mouth? He heard what they said, didn't he? Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. He heard. He heard exactly what they said, but not with favor. Now, who is this man or woman that God hears? Remember, my question is, does God hear me? Who is this man or this woman that the living God, the God of glory, actually hears? Well, Ishmael is going to teach us, and this story actually begins in chapter 16, if you'll turn back there with me. Verse 4, and he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Oh, she looked down at Sarah. I had the child, you didn't. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I might have told you to do this, but you were wrong in doing it. I've heard that before. I've given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abraham said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself into her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael. Here's his beginning. Because the Lord hath heard thine affliction. So Ishmael, his name is given before he's even born. And he's promised by God. That's where his history begins. And that's where the history of everybody God hears begins. God determined before they were born that they would be heard by him. So the first issue in this thing, will God hear me? If he sovereignly chooses to hear me, he'll hear me. That's where we got to begin. God's determined to hear me. Now, we're not leaving it there, but that's where we have to begin. The same way Ishmael begins. Look in chapter 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. And I'll bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I'll bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah that's 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Now we've got him. What you're talking about is impossible. He was laughing, and that was the laugh of unbelief. Somebody says that's a laugh of joy. No, it wasn't. It was the laugh of unbelief at this time. He didn't believe what God said. He didn't think it would come to pass. And so he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son, indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I have blessed. There's God's blessing. And we'll make him fruitful, and we'll multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes, shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation." So God once again speaks of what he's going to do for this man, Ishmael. Now, Ishmael was heard first because God purposed to hear him. And if me or you are heard, it'll be because the God of glory purposed to hear us. But secondly, Ishmael was heard because of his connection with somebody else. Look in verse 13 of chapter 21. "And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he's thy seed." That's the reason. God will hear for Christ's sake, because of your connection with him. Not because of any merit on your part. Not because of any thing in you that would cause God to hear. He hears for Christ's sake. That is why he heard Ishmael, for Christ's sake. Ishmael was heard because of his connection with somebody else, and I couldn't help but think of Mephibosheth. "Is there any of the house of Saul that I can show the kindness of God to for Christ's sake?" That's why God hears. And that ought to give everybody in here some encouragement. God hears for Christ's sake. You can't be too far off for him to not hear for Christ's sake. No other reason is needed. "Let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream." The only fitness he required is to have a need of him. God hears for Christ's sake. Now, look in verse 9. "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking." And I'm sure that he was distraught over the fact that he was no longer the heir. I understand that. He'd gone all of his life thinking he would be the heir. And now all of a sudden he gets nothing. And so he looks at his little brother, 3 or 4 years old at the time, and he makes fun of him. "Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of the son. He thought, this is wicked. That's what grievous means. Doesn't mean just, it's making me sad. He thought, I'm married to a wicked woman. That's what he was thinking at that time. I'm married to a wicked woman. And he was upset, and I don't think he would have done it. I think he would have said, I'm not going to do that until the Lord intervenes. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, every one of us are called upon to cast out the bondwoman and her son. No mercy to any form of salvation by works in any way, to any degree. Cast it out. But here's his promise with regard to Ishmael. "And also of the son of the bondwoman, I will make a nation, because he is thy seed." Abraham rose up early. You know, every time we read that in the life of Abraham, he was getting ready to do something very difficult. You know, he rose up early to take his son up the mountain. He rose up early and he saw Sodom on fire and destroyed. And here he is rising up early to do this very difficult thing. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. in obedience to God's command. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now that word Beersheba means the well of the seven oaths. We're going to come across this quite often in the Old Testament. Beersheba, the well of the seven oaths. So there was a well already there, wasn't there? And it says that she wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And that word wandered is the same word that is always translated gone astray. She went astray in the wilderness of Beersheba. You know something? Goats can't go astray. Only sheep go astray. She went astray in the wilderness of Beersheba, but even in her straying, she couldn't stray outside of this glorious covenant, and God's people can't. In that wilderness, she was straying. All we like sheep have gone astray. David said, "Seek thou, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant." She was a lost sheep straying, but she wasn't straying outside of that covenant, was she? She couldn't stray outside of that covenant. Verse 15, and the water was spent in the bottle. There was not even a drop left. I can see the last time she held that bottle up, letting the last drop probably go into her son's mouth. And all of a sudden, it was spent. It was gone. There was nothing left. I couldn't help but think of the prodigal. When he'd spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. When the bottle was all spent, and they had nothing left, they now had no hope. As far as they knew. Now they had hope because of the covenant of Beersheba. But in their experience, they had no hope. The water was spent. It was all gone. And what did she do? And when the water was spent in the bottle, she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lift up her voice. Don't miss that. She lift up her voice and wept. Now, she's going to hear from the angel of God again. Some 17 years before, the angel of the Lord appeared to her and told her about Ishmael. But he's going to come to her again. You see, God heard the voice of the lad. Verse 17. God heard the voice of the lad. God heard. God heard. God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." Oh, that's so important. Not where he ought to be. Where he is. Now, this is the hearing of favor. And let me remind you, there's only one reason why the Lord hears. No other reasons are needed. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know, when Christ comes to God, I do too, because I'm in him. That's how I get into his presence. Christ comes into his presence. I come by him. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, he says, fear not, God hath heard the lad where he was. Cast off under the shrub, ready to die. He came to him where he was. Very much like the Good Samaritan. Remember when he came to the man who was half dead? Somebody says, how in the world can you be half dead? Well, he was spiritually dead. He was physically alive. He was spiritually dead. So I reckon he was half dead. But he was plumb dead spiritually. But he came to him where he was. Not where he ought to be. Not where he should be. Where he was. Now, human religion has the sinner first getting himself to the place where God can come to him. God will not come to you unless you first fill in the blank, whatever it is. God will not come to you unless you first, whatever it might be. If there's some prerequisite that I must first meet before God will hear me or before God will do something for me, I'm in trouble. And you are too. There will be no salvation for me or you if that's the case. If there's something I need to do to make myself savable, if there's something I need to do to make him to hear me, I'm not going to be heard. Just as I am without one plea but the shed blood of Calvary, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. No prerequisites I have to first meet. No sin I must first put away and overcome. And no good thing I must become. No, he came to him where he was. And look what he said to her in verse 18. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand. For I will make of him a great nation. Arise. What do you think of when you hear that word? The resurrection of Christ. And you know what? When she arose, she lifted somebody else up. Isn't that what Christ did? When he was raised from the dead, somebody else was. Everybody he represented. Arise, lift up the lad, and I will make. Salvation is what he does. I will make of him a great nation. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. That's the reason you're there. Somebody says, how do I get in Christ? Well, he's got to put you there. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. This great nation Peter describes, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you from darkness into his marvelous light. Now, rise up, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. Now, God just talks about what he's going to do. I will make him a great nation. Look what verse 19 says. And God opened her eyes. You know what she saw? A well of water. Now, that well was already there. Because we're introduced to this story, Beersheba, the well of seven oaths. That well was already there. Now, I don't know if the Lord just kept her from looking in that direction. I don't know if shrubs or something was covering it, but it was already there. And she didn't see it. But when the Lord opened her eyes, she saw it. You know, we can't see until He opens our eyes. Elisha said to the servant who was so troubled before the Syrian army surrounding his house, he said, "Fear not." All it was Elisha, his servant, and a host of Syrians surrounding his house. And he said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You see, when the Lord opens the eyes, He opens the heart. Remember Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened? And when He opens the heart, He opens the understanding. "Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." And what did she do when her eyes were opened and she saw the well? Well, look what it says. Verse 19, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went." She didn't just think, "Well, there's a well of water." No, she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. The word "filled" means filled to the brim. And it's actually translated satisfied. She filled to satisfaction. The Lord says, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I give shall be a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, have I drunk of that fountain? I can tell you if you have, and I can tell me if I have. If I've drunk of that fountain, I'm satisfied. And I'm not looking for anything else. I'm not saying there must be something else. I'm not saying I must be missing something. If I drink of that fountain, I am satisfied. I don't want anything else. Everything God requires of me, I have. I'm not looking, am I missing something? No. I'm satisfied. And I don't want to be saved anyway but by Him alone. Oh, the well of satisfaction. God opened her eyes. She saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Ishmael drank of that water because God heard. He heard him where he was. Look what verse 20 says. "And God was with the lad." Now, what more can anybody ask for? God was with the lad. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Fear not, I am with thee." I'm quoting Scripture. "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'll strengthen thee. Yea, I'll help thee. Yea, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Now, who's speaking? The Lord of glory, Who's he speaking to? In that same scripture, it says, But Israel, thou art my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, fear not, thou worm, Jacob. Now hold on for just a moment. I remember one time preaching, this has been years ago. John, you'll remember this, I think. We ended up singing, Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? And there was a person visiting. I don't remember what the connection was. His mother was with him. And I was sitting here and watched her look at her son and said, I'm not a worm. Remember that, John? Okay. Okay. But the promise is not for you then. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob. I'm not a worm. Then the fear not's not for you. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, for I will help thee. Now, God was with the lad. You know, he was with me before I was ever born. He was with me when he was conceived in his mother's womb. He was with me as he worked out this perfect righteousness that he did for 30-some years. Remember when he said to John the Baptist, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness? He's talking about every one of his elect. He was with me. Maybe a better way to say it would be I was with him when he went to the cross and put away my sin. He was with me when he opened his eyes in the tomb. He was with me when he walked out. He was with me, or I was with him, as he was raised back up to the Father. He was with me. I was with him. He's with me right now. He'll always be with me. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Who does God hear? Will God hear me? Well, he hears the elect. He hears folks who have gone astray and have no water. And he hears us where we are. Not where we ought to be, but where we are. Now, let me close with this thought. Whosoever. Do you hear that? Whosoever. What a precious word. I'm one of them. Are you one of the elect? Hope so. Are you a whosoever? I know so. I'm in that demographic. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, he's going to hear. They shall be saved. Now, it's calling on the name of the Lord. It's not just calling up to some false, fictitious God you've made up. It's calling on him who reveals his name in his word. His name is his attributes, his sovereignty, his holiness, his justice, his grace, his love. When I call on his name, I'm calling on every one of his attributes to save me. Lord, will my salvation by your sovereign will. Save me by your justice in a way that honors your justice. Save me by your mercy and your grace and your whatever attribute. You save me. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, does the Lord hear me, or will the Lord hear me? If I call on his name, yes. Yes. Let's pray. Lord, we are calling upon thy name. Save us, hear us, for Christ's sake. Ask me not.